So friends, welcome to the last Sunday in November that for very many reasons has special place in the hearts and minds and imaginations of our congregation. Not the least of which is that November marks a month that is increasingly being used to draw attention to men's health issues, and during which many men in our community have grown beards, and those of us who had beards before that have grown them even longer. Among the various commentaries that have been offered about my growing beard, the one that I have perhaps appreciated most is that it makes me look more professorial. And I'm going to stick with that. Better than some of the other things. And in trying to live into that mantle of professorialness, today I am going to offer a professorial sermon, not one that perhaps will offer much deep theological insight, but one that is rather filled with the kind of esoteric detail that belongs to the professor. Today is the last Sunday of the church year as well. First of Advent begins our next cycle through the liturgical calendar. Since the 1960s, this has been also Christ the King Sunday, or in other traditions, the Reign of Christ Sunday. Christ the King Sunday was actually instituted in 1925 by Pope Pius IX, who saw in the replacement of the train wreck of enlightened despotism the glowing rise of the nuclear holocaust of fascism, and wanted to offer his flock a way to understand themselves apart from this tide of insanity, a way to consider themselves dual citizens, not only of their earthly country, but of that far kingdom where Christ reigns alone. At least for me, Christ the King Sunday holds somewhat less water than it used to, for I think our imagination for monarchy has failed somewhat. I have trouble imagining a monarchy that is not trivial or wrong-headed, and thus have trouble in my mind comparing that to anything that I would wish for the return of Christ and his rule in our land. And so many commentaries and sermons too have shifted away from musings on visions of earthly governance to the consideration of this wonderful text from the 18th chapter of St. John, a text as it is from the very end of Jesus' earthly ministry, even on the very last day of his life, of his conversation with the earthly ruler, with Pontius Pilate, and their discussion of kingship and, more importantly, of truth. Many sermons that I have preached and many sermons yet today will muse upon the nature of truth, even within our culture that bats that term around a bit. I, for one, personally have a rather simple understanding of truth, and so I'm not going to take that up, at least not in this part of the sermon. I rather, in all of my professorialness, would like to focus on another word in that final statement where Jesus says, "Those who are of the truth will hear my voice." I'd like to talk a little bit today about the word "of." Daniel Wallace, in his small book on the basics of New Testament syntax, suggests that there are at least five distinct meanings for the word "of." There's more. It's only a 12-minute sermon. He uses the image of a bucket, but I will offer an image perhaps from our shared experience over the last week, or an experience I at least hope you have had. I gathered on Thursday for a small dinner with my family around a large table. And upon that table was a bowl. It was a bowl of mine. Of here, denoting a possessive relationship. It is a bowl that belongs to me. It's my bowl. This bowl is of German origin. Comes from the city of Meissen in Germany. This is a of relationship, my German bowl. This bowl is a part of a set of porcelain ware that my grandmother gave to me before she died. It is one of many pieces in that collection. It is a bowl of my grandmother's china. It is a bowl made of porcelain. The material of the bowl is ceramic. It is a porcelain bowl. But perhaps most important for that gathering around that table was not whose bowl it was or where it came from, what it was a part of, or what material it was made of. It was what was in the bowl. It was a bowl of gravy, which among Callahans is nigh on to a soft drink. The of content, a bucket of water, a box of nails, a bowl of gravy, is often what we most commonly think of when we think of the word of. And so now that you understand the foundational grammar of all of this, let's figure out some theology, because I think there is some importance to the way that we understand this notion. And here I like the King James translation better. Jesus says, those who are of the truth. By what sense does Jesus mean of here? And if as that becomes clear, what are we to do with it? Is there an ethic embedded in this notion of being of the truth? Well, perhaps it is an of content. Perhaps it bespeaks to those of us or of those of us who know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. For those of us who have grasped some kind of knowledge, who have had some kind of experience, who are set apart because of what we know or think or believe, that truth in us. Maybe that's what Jesus means. Maybe he means we are those who have so inwardly digested. This is a Thanksgiving sermon after all. We'll use some digestion metaphors. And being what we consume, we have become of the truth. Perhaps knit into the fiber of our beings is this truthfulness. Maybe we are truthful people. So truthful that we can be said to be made of truth. Maybe it's a more systematic thing. This is a gospel written, of course, to all of God's people. Maybe we are just but a part of this larger truth, like a gravy boat in the midst of a large china cabinet. Maybe we are the part of that that is the part of truth, and it belongs to all of us. Maybe it belongs to all of us so much that we have become a truthful community, a truth that can be said to be, or a community that can be said to be of truth. And we are a part of that community. Maybe that's who Jesus is talking to. Or maybe we are the possession of truth. This is probably the hardest one to parse until you begin to think about what are the various options for truth that were given, particularly in St. John's Gospel. And St. John's Gospel, among biblical sources, is rather clear on the notion of truth, but a little bit strange to contemporary ears, for in there Jesus says, I am the truth. But for the Christian, according to St. John, the truth is not an abstract concept. The truth is not a body of doctrine. The truth is not a set of facts. The truth is a person who lived and died and rose again. And who claims us, not just as a part of his tribe or his clan or his company, who claims us as his very own. Those who are of the truth. Those who belong to Christ. They will hear his voice. And so in this, I think we have an opportunity to reclaim something of Christ the King Sunday. I'm still not completely enamored of the name, but we'll go with it. In a contemplation of both who we are and whose we are. Those, as the NRSV translated, who belong to the truth. Maybe we can make this celebration less about idealizing forms of earthly government and make it more about our sense of how and to whom we belong. That regardless of what we know, of what we're made of what groups or families or countries we hail from, that we belong to Christ. That we belong to the truth. And we will hear his voice. Amen.